telling you to put your phone on vibrate or turn it off if you have any.
A little child shall lead them. Imani, Yeshua blessed us today. I just pray that God will continue to bless you as you use your talent to glorify God. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence with us this morning, for speaking to us in so many different ways, even through this young child. Father, we pray for your blessing on her, upon all the young people and the children. You said in your word, suffer the little children to come unto you and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I pray your continued blessing upon each and every one of them, that you would guide them in the way you would have them go. And now, Lord, as we come to hear from you through your word, we pray, Lord, that you will speak clearly to our hearts this morning. Use even me, Lord, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Weathering the storms of life. We who live in South Florida know a lot about storms. We know the damage they can do and that they are not to be taken lightly. But they call for thoughtful preparation. Likewise, we should be prepared for the storms, the hardships of life, for sooner or later, they will come. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus had just performed a wonderful miracle where he fed a multitude of 5,000 men, plus women and children, with only 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. After which the disciples gathered 12 baskets of crumbs. Then Jesus told the disciples to go ahead of him by boat to the other side of the sea, while he sent the multitudes away. Then Jesus went alone into the mountain to pray. But the disciples soon encountered a storm. The ship was now in the middle of the sea, being tossed about by a strong wind which blew against the direction in which they were going. They were now about halfway across, about 3.5 miles from shore, as the Sea of Galilee is about 7 miles wide. But about the fourth hour, the fourth watch of the night, which would be between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus approached the boat, walking on water. And they were terrified because they thought they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And then Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you, let me come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water toward Jesus. But verse 30 says that when he saw the strong wind, he became afraid and began to sink. And so he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and saved him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they entered the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. There are so many valuable lessons to be learned from this story, and we'll look at some of them today. First of all, Jesus sets a wonderful example for us as he takes time out to be alone to pray. This is vital to the Christian's walk and development of a closer relationship with God. We must spend time alone with God in prayer. If you have not seen the movie War Room, you should. It is probably the best promotion of having a quiet place at home where you can go and close your door and have a personal conversation with God. And I say conversation because prayer is not a monologue but a dialogue. It is not only about talking to God, but equally important, we must listen to what he tells us to do and obey him. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, Jesus says, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Jesus is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. And as God, he is omniscient. He knows all things. So Jesus knew quite well that there would be a storm. So why did he send them ahead of him? Well, because Jesus had some valuable lessons for them to learn. And he gives the test before the lesson. It surely was a test of their faith. They thought they were seeing a ghost. They were obviously tired and maybe somewhat delusional. And the storm tossing the boat around certainly increased their fear. So they were understandably relieved when Jesus identified himself. You know, sometimes, my friend, you're going through the storm. You're being tossed about by the waves of life. You feel so alone and hopeless, and fear begins to set in. But just remember that you are not forsaken, for Jesus has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. He is always close by, and all you have to do is to call on him. Peter wanted greater assurance that it was really Jesus. So he said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. And the Lord said, come. Christ called Peter not only that he might walk on water, but that he might recognize his own weakness and depend on God. When the Lord says, come, my friend, you should come. When he says, go, you should go. You should go knowing that he is in full control and that you need not worry, because the Lord will not call you to do what he knows cannot be done. He will always supply all you need for the job for which he calls you. He does not always call the qualified, but he always qualifies the called. Peter stepped out of the boat, confident that he could walk on water, not by his own power, but he believed that he could do all things through Christ who strengthens him. My friend, you would be amazed at what the Lord could do through you if only you put your total trust in him. We dare not criticize Peter, for he was the only one who was courageous enough to step out of that boat. Peter did not step out on still water. There was a storm with high winds and crashing waves, yet he trusted in the Lord. Peter was doing fine as he walked towards Jesus until he let the distraction of the wind get the better of him. All was well when he kept his eye on Jesus. But the minute he took his eyes off him, all failed. My friend, as you go through life, keep your eyes focused on Jesus and not on the storm. Sickness will come and will discourage you and make you feel like giving up. But remember that God is in control. Just trust him and he will strengthen and restore you. Amen. Each of us will lose loved ones sooner or later, and our hearts will hurt, and we will experience loneliness. But trust in the Lord and he will comfort you and give you the strength to carry on. You might lose a job and you have to endure hardships for a while, but keep your faith in God and he will supply all your needs. In Psalm 37:25, David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 34 reminds us that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And verse 17 of that psalm remind us that the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In between Peter stepping out of the boat and being overcome by fear and doubt, Peter walked on water. All went well until he shifted his focus from Jesus to the storm. What's causing you to lose focus? What's shifting your focus from the things of God? Is it parties? Worldly fun? Is it striving to get rich? Is it sports? Is it shopping? Is it your job? Is it TV? Or is it self-centeredness? We must be careful to walk as Jesus walked every time we step out of the boat. We are constantly being scrutinized and our testimony is at stake. So if we call ourselves Christians, we must live like one, keeping our focus on the Lord and doing that which pleases him. Amen. The traffic light turned orange just in front of this man. He did the right thing and stopped at the crosswalk. Even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection, the tailgating woman behind him was furious and honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection. As she was still ranting and raving, she heard a tap on her window and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station, where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple hours, another policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was then escorted back to the booking desk, where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said, "I'm very sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, giving the guy in front of you the finger and cursing at him. I noticed the 'What would you, what would Jesus do?' bumper sticker, the 'Choose Life' license plate holder, the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car." Brothers and sisters, we must watch our walk daily. The Bible has a lot more to say about how we should walk than how we should talk. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And 1 John 1:7 also talks about a walk. It says, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Verse 30 of our passage in Matthew 14 tells us that as Peter was distracted by the strong wind, he became afraid and began to sink and cried, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out immediately and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Why did you doubt, Peter? Why were you afraid? Why do you not totally place your faith in me? My brothers and sisters, when you pray, do you really believe that God can do anything? Do you believe that he is the almighty, omnipotent creator of all that exists, and there is nothing too hard for him? Or do you pray doubting that he even hears your prayers? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." When we let fear and doubt overcome us, it indicates that we lack faith and trust in God. For there is nothing, my friend, that God cannot do. Here's another lesson to be learned from Peter. You know, sometimes beginning to sink can be for your own good. If Peter had continued to walk on water, maybe he would have become arrogant, beginning to think, "Oh, look what I did," and beginning to think that he did it on his own ability. Sometimes the Lord allows us to go through hardships so that we can be reminded that he is still in control and that we need him. So we must humble ourselves and put our faith and trust totally in him. When Peter found himself sinking, he cried out to the Lord, saying, Lord, save me. What do? When you begin to sink in the quicksand of life's problems, do you panic? Or do you cry out to the Lord? He said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jeremiah 33, he said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You know, my friends, in this day and age, when there are so many distractions all around us, we have to be like horses with bridles on, neither looking to the right nor to the left, but living life with our eyes fixed on Jesus. There are so many things and habits in this world today which seem attractive, but I want to tell you something. Not all that glitters is gold. They set a deadly trap for those who will be swayed into their lethal web. Young people, children, do that which is good and godly. Shun that which is evil. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will bless you and make your path straight. Stand strong as a soldier of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And verse 32 says, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Jesus has the power over the storm and power over all creation. You know, in another storm, Jesus spoke to the storm and rebuked the winds and the sea, and immediately the storm stopped. Matthew 8:27 says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Whatever the storm you're going through in life right now, Jesus has the power over it. He can speak and cease the storm, but you must trust him completely and do not doubt. Verse 33 says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The test was complete. The lesson had been taught. There was no more doubt as to who Jesus was and what he could do. So they, reassured of his deity, bowed down and worshiped him. Today, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, you too can be saved from sinking in this world of sin. But you must put your faith and trust in Jesus. Only Jesus can save you from the storms of life. He does not promise that there won't be storms, but he promises to be there to take you safely through them and save you from sinking. Today Jesus says, come. Do you have the courage, as Peter did, to step out and come to Jesus? Or do you doubt that he can save you and quiet the storms in your life? We must come by faith, believing. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, I worked many years as a radiation therapist treating cancer. I noticed that people die one of two ways. They either die peacefully or they die scared to death. The ones that are scared to death are most often the ones who through life rejected God. They had no time for church. They had no patience for Christians and those who talk about God. They laugh at us when we talk about salvation. But when faced with death, they don't think it's so funny. My friends, every man will be accountable for his own soul before God. God knows that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. He knows that because of our sin, we are doomed to hell for all eternity. But God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place so that we can be reconciled to our Heavenly Father, have all our sins forgiven, and inherit everlasting life. This wonderful salvation is free. You cannot buy it. You cannot do enough good deeds to earn it. You cannot inherit it because your parents are Christians. You must accept it for yourself. Today, you too can be saved. So this morning, I invite you to leave your seat during the singing of the invitational hymn. Walk down this aisle saying, Lord, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of every sin. Wash me clean. And use me to your glory. And he will forgive you of all your sins and give you a brand new start so that you can face the future with the confidence that you walk not in your own strength, but that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder that when storms come in our lives, you are there, you're always there to strengthen us and to carry us through. And so, Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, that when we were doomed in our sin, you had compassion on us and you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place and to save us from eternal damnation. Lord, I pray for anyone within the sound of my voice this morning who needs to experience that salvation which you offer. Lord, give them the courage and the wisdom this morning to know that procrastinating day after day will eventually run out of time. That today is the day of salvation, that they must step out today and accept you as their Lord and Savior. So have your own way now, Holy Spirit, in every heart. And save, renew, encourage, as you see fit. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The hymn of invitation is number 293. Jesus calls us over the tumult of the world's tempestuous sea.